Today I want to talk about fruit, leaves, and sandwiches. It sound like a few random things. It'll hopefully all make sense by the end. The main passage I'm going to be referencing today is Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm also just going to briefly reference Matthew 21 because they are sort of two different views of the same account. I thought this was fitting with Easter coming up. This is the passage of Christ's triumphant entry and the cursing of the fig tree and the cleansing of the temple. And so, I thought this was kind of a fitting topic, especially with Easter around the corner, with Christ's triumphal entry and his crucifixion here imminent here in this part of the Gospels. So I'm going to read the portion of Mark 11 that I want to highlight, and I'll just briefly reference Matthew 21, which again is sort of the same scenario, just from a different perspective. So here in Mark 11, we see Christ has made his triumphant entry. They were shouting Hosanna, which that in itself probably could be its own podcast, because the word Hosanna is such a beautiful thing. It literally translates to save us or to salvation. So they were literally shouting as Christ is entering. They're literally shouting salvation and shouting save us. And it's such a beautiful thing with what the word actually means. And so he enters the city and goes to the temple first in Mark's account. So I'm going to start reading in Mark chapter 11. So this is right after Jesus enters, and they're shouting Hosanna, laying down the palm trees, calling him the son of David. So in verse 11 of Mark 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow he went, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves — that's important that it notes that it has leaves — he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time was not, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And then he goes on to talk about having faith that can move mountains. And it talks about forgiveness as well. And then he returns to the temple in verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking into the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. They say unto him, by what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave thee authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. This baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John, that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. So there's a lot of events happening here in Mark chapter 11. It's seemingly random. But I'm hoping after this we'll see that it's not random. Matthew 21, like I've already said, has a similar account where Christ has his triumphal entry. And then Matthew goes into him cleansing the temple, and then the cursing of the fig tree, and then them going back to the temple, where he Jesus questions them about John the Baptist. And so it's a similar pattern here. And this pattern is very commonly seen in Mark. It's called the sandwich technique, or it's often called the Markan sandwich, because Mark commonly uses this as a literary tool that really highlights and indicates a very much deeper and interconnected meaning. So these events seem, on the surface, they seem just randomly interspersed within each other, but they are really interconnected with a deeper connected meaning. Another really technical term for the sandwich technique is called interpolation. Interpolations, and these are just, again, this story that's seemingly different, put right in the middle of another story. And then that first story is resumed thereafter. And this is just a literary tool that, like I said, Mark commonly uses. So we see here in Mark and in Matthew that the cursing of the fig tree is sandwiched in between events at the temple. So first he goes to the temple, or first there's documentation that he was in the temple. Then they go, he curses the fig tree, then they go back to the temple. And so we see this in Matthew 21 as well as Mark 11 here, with the cursing of the fig tree being sandwiched in between. And they, again, it seems on the surface like it's like they're two separate, completely separate things that are just randomly put together, and they're not. We have to understand this is a literary tool that Mark commonly uses, and that indicates there is a much deeper meaning that he's trying to portray. So first of note, I want to mention in some of my studies that I've seen, fig trees have represented judgment at times in the Old Testament, which I think is kind of important to note. And the big picture here that I believe Mark is trying to portray here is that there is a connection between Christ cursing the fig tree and the temple and what's going on in the temple, the people in the temple, the function of the temple. There is a greater connection between this. So we have he goes to the temple, then goes, curses the fig tree, and then comes back to the temple. I think there is sort of two very similar but slightly different interpretations of this Markan sandwich here. The first one is that the destruction of the fig tree parallels the cleansing of the temple in that the ministry of the temple is coming to an end. This is one interpretation that I've seen in my studies and heard in preachings. I mean, I think it makes perfect sense that salvation is coming through Christ now. That there's no more, there's a coming that there's no more need for the functions of the temple. The function of the temple is coming to an end in Christ. There's not going to be any more need for these sacrifices and ritual sacrifices, because Christ, as Hebrews tells us, is the ultimate sacrifice, who only needed to die once, and is a perfect sacrifice compared to the animals that were sacrificed in the temple. And so this is one way of looking at it, that really the cursing of the fig tree is representing that the function of the temple is coming to an end, and it's Christ's body that is now the sacrifice, and it's our bodies that are becoming the temples of God. And that's really a beautiful picture. The other, it's kind of connected to that thought, but the focus is a little bit more on the fig tree, is that the notice how the fig tree, like I mentioned in the beginning, Mark points out here that it has leaves, but there's no fruit. And it is interesting that it's not even the time of the figs yet. It's not that time of the year, but it's interesting that he notes that it has leaves and leaves only. Since this tree has leaves and it's a fig tree, it could be assumed and thought that there should be fruit as well. If it's bearing leaves, it should be bearing fruit. And Christ notices this and curses it for not having fruit, but only having leaves. And this is paralleled, going back to the temple now, because again, they're all parallel with the sandwich technique. Going back to the temple, the things that were going on in the temple, they were, you know, he calls it a den of thieves because of what they were doing, and the hypocrisy and the haughtiness of the Pharisees and the religious people of the day. They were celebrating the Passover, but it was all a show. It was more so just, we're just doing this out of tradition, and out of religious rules, and they were doing it to make money, with the money changers. And Christ is cursing this fig tree, and Mark is illustrating that to point out the hypocrisy of the people and the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, who on the surface looked like they were very spiritual. Hence, they were all leaves, but on the inside, there was no heart change. There was actually no real fruit. Again, hence the cursing of the fig tree. The tree was all leaves, and therefore it should have had fruit, but it's all on the surface. There was no real fruit, and Christ curses that, paralleling the Pharisees and the religious people who, and the events in the temple who are celebrating Passover with no real heart change. And this has significant application to us today. You know, are we all leaves without fruit? Does it look like on the surface that we're doing religious and spiritual things, so to speak, when on the inside there's no real heart change? And I think it's significant that Christ curses this fig tree. With keeping that in mind, we have to examine ourselves, and we have to check our hearts to see if we are walking in the faith. It's easy at times to be hypocrites, especially when we get caught up in the day-to-day, and we lose touch in the spirit by lacking prayer and scripture reading. But it's important to recognize hypocrisy within us, to repent of it, and to allow Christ to change our hearts daily. So that's really the big take-home message that I wanted to leave you is, no pun intended there, is, are we all leaves without fruit? Just like this fig tree was. Are we looking like we should have fruit in our lives because of the leaves and what we're putting on the outside, when the inside there's nothing? And praise God that the function of the temple came to an end. Praise God we don't have to have sacrifices every year, and we have to have sacrifices for every sin, animal sacrifices. Praise God that He became our sacrifice, and now we are the temples of God with the Holy Spirit living within us. So look for this pattern throughout Mark. It's a very common one. Another example is when Jairus, if I'm pronouncing his name right, Jairus, who he was a significant military leader. His daughter was dying and eventually did die. Christ, of course, resurrected her. But as he was told about her and was going to heal her, the woman with the disease of blood came and touched him. She was healed, and then it goes back to him going to Jairus' daughter and healing and resurrecting her. I'm not going to really dive into that, but that's just another example of this Markan sandwich, this sandwich technique. Mark commonly uses this. And again, it's a literary theme or a literary tool that he's using, and it really highlights a much deeper interconnected meaning. So the next time you see this pattern, kind of stop and think about it and look deeper and to find the connections, because there's something even deeper Mark is trying to allude to and illustrate. So I pray that this is encouraging to you. Praise God for Him being our sacrifice. And I pray that it's encouraging that we live a life that is backed by what we say, and that our lives, not only on the surface but on the inside, our hearts are Christ-like. Let us not be like the people of this day here in Mark, who are all leaves and no fruit. Thank you. Have a blessed rest of your week. And again, I look forward to celebrating Easter with you.